Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there is a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me, per usual, my boy and producer, Marcus.
What's up, Dub Nation?
And our master of all things sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
Gentlemen, I am excited to announce that rejoining us after way too long, the beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, a man who attends every single Warriors practice, press conference, shoot, around, and game, and a guy who will absolutely sneak a drink into a bar if he's wearing cargo shorts, Mr. CJ Holmes. What's going on, CJ?
It's been like a week, man. Y'all got to relax. All right. It's been like a week.
I missed you, CJ. Don't you worry about what I consider a long time. It is what it is. Is it good that when we first hopped on this call, I gave you shit for wearing a sweatshirt and a beanie in like 4,000 degree weather? And then now when you look at the video, I'm the one who looks like an asshole because you
can't. Yeah, right. Said the guy in witness protection, right?
Exactly. I'll have you know that I will testify in any case that I want. So for those of you who are not supporting us on Patreon and can't yet watch the video, I'm in a room where there's like two really bright windows behind me. So all you can see is a dark ass silhouette and then a white background with the words Warriors Huddle. This might be God speaking to you guys. You don't know. I was hoping it would make me seem more important. So far, it's just distracting.
It is. It's very distracting.
CJ, it's been like 3 or 4 years since we talked to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just It's September, which means camp's right around the corner. Getting started here for real on September 24th. Japan a couple days after that. And, you know, then we're back in the rhythm of things and we'll see how this season goes, you know?
Are you looking for – so as a guy who doesn't have to work the season, it can't start soon enough. You know, it still seems kind of far away and I'm really excited that there's hoop to be played in a month or so. But for you, you know, you didn't get too long of a time off, man. You know, the championship run just ended. So you know,
I've been telling all my friends, just like, enjoy me while I'm here. These are my final days of freedom.
I thought it's because you expected to die from heat stroke. But I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, that too, yeah. Probably. You guys don't want to see what's under this hat. I'm trying to tell you.
MT, it actually has been a long time since we've seen you, man. How you been? What's going on?
Been good. I'm glad to be back. I was in the witness protection program, but the real version of it. So that's why I was gone. No, everything's been good. Just excited. Like CJ said, camp's getting near and season's coming closer. So excited to talk Warriors and get ready to defend the crown.
CJ, you missed this, but right before you joined us, Marcus hopped on and his background was inexplicably the Smurfs. No, we still have no idea what the hell that was. He said it was a reference to something that we talked about in the last time he was on a podcast. That was, I don't know, a decade ago, so I didn't remember it. But you did, in fact, miss the Smurfs, so maybe it'll make an appearance later on today. I mean, we'll find out together.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hella weird. Thank you for saying that.
It made sense at the time. I guarantee you it made sense at the time.
Yeah, I mean, who remembers back to 2008, dude? I have no idea what Smurf conversations I had back then. Gentlemen, let's jump in. And CJ, I say this to a lot of guests, but today I absolutely mean it. We need you today. So we, you know, we get our mailbag questions. It's our golden questions. And we had a few that were looking towards the future. And the reason I say that you're perfect for this is that you just authored an article, Warriors' New Front Court Dynamic, Kuminga, Wiseman, and an Exciting Prospect. And in the course of that article, you started addressing a lot of the questions that were thrown our way. So I've kind of weaved in the questions and your article. We'll see how it goes. I'm feeling really proud of myself right now. But so if it doesn't land, I'm going to blame you boys. We'll find out. We'll find out. And let's jump in. Here is our first question. Why should we be excited for Patrick Baldwin? And here's my first work in. This is directly from CJ's article. Quote, in Baldwin's limited time with the team, he has impressed with his basketball intellect and performances in individual workouts as he continues to recover from an ankle injury that cut his freshman season at Wisconsin-Milwaukee short. I've been shocked by what I've seen in an exciting way, one Warrior staffer said. He's an exciting prospect, very excited. So I'll throw it right to you, CJ. Why should we be excited for Patrick Baldwin? What have you been hearing?
You know, I think the biggest reason to be excited about Patrick Baldwin is the situation and he currently finds himself in. For a guy who's one and only season in college was greatly limited because of injuries. For a guy that's almost 6'10", can shoot the rock, someone with all those raw physical gifts, coupled with a high basketball IQ, and then you take that guy and throw him into a Warriors organization with a masterful player development program. I mean, I think there's a lot to be excited about. You know, everyone who I've been talking to around the organization in the last couple of weeks, you know, nothing but positive things to say about Patrick Baldwin Jr. Of course, you know, because he's still kind of working his way back, you know, they haven't necessarily seen him in a lot of five-on-five work, if any at all. But you know, sometimes in a workout, you can watch a guy and you can tell if he's a pro, right? You can tell by having a conversation with the guy if he knows the game. And, you know, based on the conversations I had, Patrick is checking those boxes. And I think we talked about this last time I was on, but, you know, the first thing you want to do is have, you know, it takes the right mentality, right? And from everything I'm hearing, Patrick wants to learn. He's a hard worker. And when you see him on the practice court, even if he's just shooting in 5-on-0, the potential is oozing out of him. So all those factors coupled together, you know, throw in the fact that he's with the Warriors organization that's historically shown they can get the most out of their prospects, I think there's a lot to be excited about.
I've always loved players who have pedigree and then weird things that have kept them from reaching that pedigree, right? So like in this one, Baldwin was a pretty high-end prospect, right? And then he ended up not only hurting his ankle, but he played for his dad, which isn't automatically a bad thing, but is one of those kind of weird things and could be one of the reasons why he's prepped to actually have a really successful basketball career and still slipped down to where the Warriors could have gotten him. So, I mean, these words are exactly what I'm looking for somebody like Patrick Baldwin, an exciting prospect, you know? And we've seen the Warriors take advantage of injuries before. Kevon Looney, you know, when Loon came here, his career at UCLA was really held back by, I think it was a back issue. And we didn't really even get to see him here for a good year. They drafted Jordan Bell, if memory serves, because they were still worried about him. And then off he went. He was a key member to a championship team. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Baldwin. And the real upside is if he works out, awesome. You know, it's the cherry on top. If he doesn't, it's fine. You know, a sundae without a cherry is still fine. You know, so I think we'll be okay. MT, you hear this. Do you have any expectations now for Baldwin? Is this just, you know, we can maybe, but it doesn't matter? I mean, what does this do for you?
I focused on the last part of what CJ said when he said the Warriors tend to get the most out of their prospects. I think that's just a great point and something that gives me hope. You look at like an Eric Pascal, he, you know, comes into our organization and, you know, plays so well because of our system and culture that he's second team all rookie for the NBA and then, you know, goes to Utah and kind of fades away. So I think there's examples where when we bring up players like Gary Payton second, Otto Porter gets another shot with us, the Eric Pascals, like our system is built with our core three and then the role players to really benefit and give guys a chance to really flourish. And I think for the points that CJ laid out, his height, his pedigree, like you mentioned, and a few other things, he's primed to be, you know, a steal and one of those players that in a year or two, people will say, how did he fall so low?
Did he make you think of Smurfette or Jokey Smurf at all? Any of the Smurfs in that village?
All of them.
I was never really a big fan of the Jokey Smurf. If there's just somebody there just throwing bombs in my face all day, I'd ask that fucker to leave the village. But I digress.
Well, real quick, I want to be clear. No one is saying that this kid's going to be in the rotation from day one. No one is saying he's going to, you know, come in and, you know, be a world breaker. All I'm saying is the coaches are looking at this kid and saying, yeah, we can work with that.
And look at the term you're using. Right? Exciting prospect. They're not saying player. They're not saying rotation player. In fact, if he was a part of the rotation at all next year, a lot of things have gone wrong. You know, I mean, so many other players have not succeeded in their offseason and we're now leaning on him. So, I mean, this is, we're not talking about 2023. We're not even talking about, you know, 2024, maybe. When we're using prospect for Baldwin, you know, it's way down the line. It's that next championship window that he'll be propping open, hopefully, and we'll find out. I mean, it's nothing but upside. And that actually leads right into this. So here's our second thing. I can't wait for next year, and I need your predictions on a few things. And then he's given us a bunch of questions that all have to do with offense. Here's our first, and I'm going to throw it towards you first, Maxine. Will Wiseman have a game where he scores 20 or more points at some point next season?
You could see it happen. I think what we're seeing from this organization, and I mean, CJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, in trading out or letting Otto Porter Jr. go, right, letting Gary Payton go, they're sort of paving the way for these young guys to step in and take on some big minutes. And I think we get into the middle of the season, things are looking fine. Maybe, you know, guys are resting a little bit more. Because again, we saw the benefit near the end of the season of, unfortunately, it was due to an injury, but Steph took some time off before the playoffs, and it meant that he could come in at the beginning of the playoffs rock solid. So you see all these different pieces that lead to a postseason success. And that's really what we're trying to do while also bridging the gap, like we're saying, you know, between this generation and the next generation. It seems like the Kamingas and the Wisemans are going to get run. There's some bad teams in the NBA. Let's be real about it. You could absolutely see them trying to tinker with some different lineups where maybe Wiseman and Kuminga are out there together. You know, and you could also see them tinkering with lineups where it's like just Wiseman kind of anchoring. And in those situations, 100%, I could see him going for 20. Dude is an unbelievable talent, and it looks like he has the potential to be healthy this season.
So, CJ, we're going to go to you next, but before you answer it, let me add some stakes I should have added before we got Maxime's response. So predictions are all sports podcasts currency, especially during the offseason, right? It's easy. You can throw them out there. It takes up content and there's no fucking stakes. If you're wrong, who gives a shit? So we've tried to change that. And the way we've done it is there is a listener out there who's been nice enough. We have, you know, we've bribed him enough where he is listening to each and every one of these predictions. His name is Matty Stats. And at the end of the year, when we ask him to, he breaks down what our percentages are, how well we've done, how poorly we've done. And there will be a show that, you know, who's our prediction champion? And I hate saying this. It bothers me more than I can tell you. But Bonte is our current reigning champion. And then we've also had people who are our giant losers. I won't say their names, but we've had people who are at 0%. So in these prediction shows, when we drop predictions, there's some stakes to them. All right. You know, they're at some point, this is going to come back. So our first question, Matty Stats, if you're listening, was next year, will Wiseman have a game where he scores 20 or more? Sounds like we've got a yes from Maxime. CJ, to you, what do you think, man? Your first chance for a point on the Matty Stats board. What's your response?
I mean, I agree with Maxime. Yeah, easily. I mean, Wiseman has scored 20 in garbage minutes before, except in, you know, a lot of those situations, you know, the Warriors are on the wrong side of the scoreboard. And I think this year there'll be a lot of the same, except this time in garbage minutes, you know, hopefully for the team, they're on the right side of the scoreboard. But, you know, we saw games last year where Moody's gotten off, for Kuminga gets off in like the fourth quarter. You know, I can easily see Wiseman, you know, maybe having a big second half here and there and, you know, eclipsing the 20-point plateau.
Maddie, get out the chisel. In fact, I'm giving you 2 points for me. Here's point number one. Yeah, will he have more than 20 points? Of course he will. Of course he will. They are invested in getting this kid's confidence up. They also, I think, learned last year that the regular season doesn't mean a goddamn thing. They're going to be sitting the veterans every chance they get. So will there be some garbage time game where Wiseman gets out there and is firing up? Yeah. So I'll say there's my first point. Go ahead and etch it in stone. Point number two, bonus point that I'm going to be taking for myself here. Yeah, I mean, you guys, look, anytime you guys want to drop bonus points, go for them. If you want to do it on this after I stop speaking, you can. He's going to average less than 13 points per game. I think the other portion of this is that first year when we saw Wiseman, the team wasn't here. We didn't have Clay. Steph was kind of in and out. All the dynamics were off. This next year, what they need him to be is someone who can run, be tall, and jump. So, you know, are they going to be asking him back to the basket or firing up threes? No, they are not. They're going to ask him to rebound and block shots. So I think he will average less than 13, but have more than 20 during a game. And I'll give you guys a chance to supplement. CJ, will he average more or less than 13? Or if, you know, if you're too afraid to give that, you know, no problem.
I don't know. 13 feels a little high for me. I think in the 8 to 10 points per range, he's going to get like, you know, he's going to get like a couple buckets a game just off like the strength of his like sheer size alone. You know what I'm saying? So, but like 13 points per game.
I'm saying less than 13, just to be completely specific. I'm saying less than 13.
I think it's going to be less. I think it's going to be more in the like 8 to 10 range, closer to 8.
I respect the, I mean, that's an attempt at a third bonus point, and I'll give it to you, CJ. Nicely played, man. It must be that sweatshirt. It's helping you think things out. Maxime, before we turn to MTE, do you want to add to yours, man? You made all these faces that suggested you were angry that I went for some bonus points. So here's your chance.
I didn't know that we could just drop whatever we wanted, you know, like, listen, I get a bonus point because I think Wiseman is going to average over a point over the course of the season.
You're ruining this entire thing. Why don't we just waste time giving bullshit predictions? I mean, if you have a real Maddie Stats, take a point away from him right now.
Oh, my gosh. That's not how this works.
I have to tell you, there's another rule where if you give bullshit predictions, you immediately lose it. And I am the person who decides what's bullshit. So there's number one.
Ridiculous. Oh, also, by the way, can we just, I think it's pretty amazing that we have a listener named Maddie Stats, who's our statistician. Just an incredible confluence of events. Just want to shout out Maddie, Mr. Stats.
If he has, in fact, changed his last name to Stats, I like him even more. MT, finish this out here on the Wiseman question. Will he score 20 points or more?
Yeah, I think the 20 points or more is an easy question. Obviously, yes. I think if you would have said 30, that would have sparked a different conversation. So I'm going to go yes on record. And Maddie Stats, you can give me my point now. No bonus points for me, but I will call out one thing. You said the Warriors won't ask Wiseman to be stepping out and shooting threes. I think you forget how he plays. You don't have to ask him to step out and shoot threes. He will step out and shoot threes.
What I'm saying is that will happen regardless
if they ask him or not.
I think they're going to tell him
probably not to shoot a few of those that are right inside the 3-point line that just infuriate everybody, including me. So hopefully that doesn't happen. He's learned from that, but we don't have to ask him. He will be shooting some threes.
I think they're going to ask him not to. I really do. I think in that first year, it was this team's going nowhere. Let's see what you can do. You want to get a rebound, bring it up 94 feet, come back out in the 3-point line and fire it up. Fine. But with a team that has Draymond directing it, with a team that has both Splash Brothers, with a team that has Jordan Poole, who is now searching for a contract, there's not going to be any of that, hey, Wiseman, let's see what you can do shit. It's not. You know, that we might see it like, you know, is he going to have zero threes over an 82-game season? Of course not. But is it going to be something that we see all the time? I don't think so. I think they're specifically going to tell him, you are JaVale McGee for this season. You know, in the future, you're not. And who we want you to be as we go forward, you're not. But this year, when we're still trying to win a championship, that's your role. You know, we don't know.
He shot a few in summer league. So, you know,
back in the summer league, then yeah, he'll probably do that. If it's Matt McClung out there with him, then there might be some Chris Bosh moments.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, the defense is going to sag on Jordan Poole this year and Steph and Clay more. So, you know, his eyes are going to get big. He's going to be sitting there with 5 feet of space to not shoot the three. It's going to be tough.
And he's going to have Draymond in his ear giving him 5 fuck yous if he does. we'll find out. What's your average? What do you think he averages?
11.
All right, there you go.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Let's go to our next. CJ, take this one. Will Jonathan Kuminga have a game where he scores 30 points or more?
You know, it's crazy because when you watch Kuminga in summer league and an international play, and I know the level of competition isn't necessarily, you know, the same, right? But I just think it's so crazy how this dude can, like, hop out of bed or hop off a flight and just, like, go out there and drop 25, right? But will he get a 30 ball next season in year two? I don't see it. I don't see it because I don't – I just don't – how to put this? I just don't think he'll be able to stay on the court for long enough stretches to get a 30 ball, right? It's if he gets a 30 ball, it's going to be one of those things where he has, like, 15 going into the, like, fourth quarter of a blowout game. Kerr leaves him out there for the fourth. He goes off.
Yep.
In the fourth, gets 30. But, like a legit 30 ball, I don't see it. I don't see it.
I hope he doesn't. All right. And let me explain that. Add some context. I am so excited for James. I'm so excited for Jonathan Kuminga. I haven't been this excited for the future of a player since Anthony Randolph. And the Anthony Randolph thing didn't really work out for me. I think that Kuminga will. But I also think next year, his competency is what's going to keep him from scoring 30. I think he's going to be a key rotational player for the Warriors. So fucking key that when they're blowing people out and they need garbage time to finish things out, it's not going to be Kuminga. I think that they are going to sit him because they need his perimeter defense and they need him long term. So they're going to be worried about it. Hold on for a second, boys. What's up, sweetie? Yeah, go ahead. I need. Ducks are not silent. Do you want to say hi to everybody real fast? Yeah, hello. Say hi to the world. There you are.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello. Okay, sweetie. Yeah, no. It's why are you grabbing a – you're starting to do exercises out there? But let the record reflect she came in here for a sweatband and is now putting it on her head, and she's left the room. Okay, back to Kuminga. So do I think he'll have 30 or more? While I don't want him to, for all of those cute reasons I just explained, do I think he'll have one game where he does? Yeah, I do. What did he have in that Dallas playoff game where he and Moody almost single-handedly brought us back? You know, they lost and they ended up putting the starters back in, but I feel like he was like mid-20s in a Western Conference Finals game. So, you know,
he was like 22, but I'm not sure.
Close enough. So I'll say yes, but it's not going to be a consistency thing. You know, we're not going to see that kind of scoring all the time. MT, what do you got?
I definitely think he scores 30 at least one game. I agree with you that he'll be a critical enough component of the rotation that he won't get the garbage minutes. But like CJ said, he rolls out of bed sometimes and is just on a different plane and ready to be a number one, two draft pick as opposed to a seven. So, I think he gets 30 at least once in one of the doldrum games, you know, like February, March, somewhere around there where teams are a little exhausted and he's just still got the young spry legs.
CJ, do you see the Stephen A. Smith take on Kuminga that he was hearing somewhere from the Warriors? So I'm going to paraphrase this, but from what I read, because I didn't see his direct quote, was that Stephen A. Smith was hearing things out of Golden State where they were worried about Kuminga's demeanor and how hard he worked in the offseason. Have anything like that crossed your desk, man? Have you heard anything, any concerns from the Warriors?
You know, I cannot confirm nor deny, what I've heard pertaining to, Stephen A's report.
Yep, fair enough.
But, you know, it isn't like you've heard this before. It doesn't necessarily mean like you should worry about the guy. I mean, they said these kind of things about Carmelo Anthony and others when like they were younger players. So, you know, it's not necessarily what you want to hear, but it's not like a death sentence or it's some type of indicator of what to expect from him. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you and I should switch boxes so you can have the anonymous screen, you know, and like we couldn't see your face at all. And you could just fire. We can pretend like you were Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. Maxime, to you, 30 points or more. What do you think?
Yeah. And CJ, just so you know, we can like put a filter on your voice. We can really make all of this happen. Just saying, if you really want to sneak something in there, we can work for you. First of all, I will say, like, dude is 19 years old, right? He's like the second youngest player in the NBA this season or something. It's like, it's crazy how young this dude is. So I think we should give him a little bit of slack. When I was 19 years old, I was not focused, to say the least, but I do think, I mean, dude is such an athlete. I really do think he's going to go for over 30, and I'll just leave it at that.
Keep the mic. Will Poole have a game where he scores 40 or more points?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, and look, I mean, dude went 50-40-90 in the postseason. Dude literally was the best free throw shooter in the league last year. This dude is a talent. You know, you're starting to see his name pop up in – admittedly sort of fan accounts, but pop up in like MVP ladder buzz conversations, and not just like could he make the top five, but literally at the top of those ladder conversations. And look, am I saying he's going to be MVP? No, I don't think he's going to be MVP of the league next year, but that's the category that he's gotten for himself. You see a dude who's now legitimately can take Steph Curry's minutes when Steph needs to sit, when Steph Curry maybe has like a ticky-tack injury in the middle of the season or whatever, and not let the team slide, right? There was like a couple years ago, if Steph wasn't playing, like we just couldn't win a game. And Jordan Poole is a legitimate alternative at this point to Steph Curry. He's not Steph Curry yet, and probably will never be Steph, the greatest shooter of all time. But can he get 40 in a game? Yeah.
We have the perfect offensive storm forming for Jordan Poole's season next year. You know, so he has a bunch of own personal motivation with his contract to have the year that all of us are hoping he's going to have, and to continue his brand moving up towards the superstar status. But the Warriors also have a motivation. He continues to be our best scorer off the bench. He's going to be the guy they hope to hand the Steph mantle to if they can figure out the contract situation. And next year, after a title, is going to be when they're really ironing that stuff out. So I think they're going to give him every opportunity to score. And yeah, I think he'll have a 40-point game. CJ?
Yeah, for yeah. Sure.
Easy, clean sweep, MT?
I'm going to go no, not because he's not talented enough, but I just think it's
you hate him.
Not the right role for him for this upcoming season. And I think he gets close to it, but I don't think he eclipses 40. And I think Matty Stats gives me the only point in this one.
Yeah, write that down, Matty Stats. Make sure to say in parentheses that Marcus is hella stupid and wrong. And I want you to say that when you come out. I want that really to be underlined. Keep it, MT. Will Steph have a 60 game or more?
No, but again, not because he can't do it. I just think he won't need to. I think the games where he will go off and be on track to score that many points, he'll sit the whole fourth and he won't have the opportunity to. I don't see many close games where he's that hot and it stays close enough where he needs to stay in and get 60. I could see him staying in to get 50 and Kerr letting that happen, but another 10 is tough.
Are you expecting all of our answers? I'm sorry, I'm late to this and should have made this distinction earlier. But all of our answers are suggesting this is a victory lap tour next year, that they're winning and easily, you know, I mean, that they're sitting everybody in the fourth, that, you know, this is going to be this kind of easy season where we roll towards a top two seed. Is that what you guys think? Do you think there's going to be a lot of double digit wins where we're sitting people in the fourth?
I don't. I know. Maxime said there's some bad teams in the NBA, and I agree there are a handful of bad ones, but I think there are also it's a lot more equitable. Like there are a lot of teams that have a superstar or two or just some good players across the board and people are healthy again. Who knows if they stay healthy, and, you know, obviously that changes the dynamics, but there's a lot of just you know, medium to strong teams, I think, in the league, that you can't just take a night off. And, you know, in terms of us sitting Clay, Steph, and Draymond fourth quarters multiple times like we did a few years ago, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. CJ, do you agree with that?
I mean, there will be blowouts. So that's kind of what the Warriors do. But I do think the Western Conference specifically got a lot better last year. I mean, this offseason. So I think it'll definitely be a tougher route, you know, tougher in terms of like seeding and stuff, much as it was last year. I mean, seeding wasn't a walk in the park last year either. But, you know, I still see this team winning, you know, 48 to 55 games, something in that range.
Do you see Steph scoring 60 or more?
60 or more. Who's the oldest player to score 60 in a game? I think it's Kobe. I think like a Kobe 37 or something like that. Nah. And I agree with Marcus, just simply because there won't be, he won't have to.
Maxine?
Yeah, that's it. That's where it's at. No, I do not think he will because he won't have to.
Yeah. I'll say you guys are all stupid and wrong. Put that one in parentheses too, Maxime. Or Maxime, Maddie Stats. Of course he will. Not because they'll need him to. Not because he's going to be close to averaging. Because he's a fucking magician. And at some point during the 82 games or however many games he scores, he will catch fire. It might be in an opposing arena. They may give him as many standing ovations in that opposing arena as they would at home. And when he catches fire, he will get above 60. You know, and that might even include sitting some of the fourth. I'm not sure. But with that level of talent coming off of this year and him being coronated as, I think, the best player in the league next year, will there be a time when he puts up more than 60? Yes, he will. And when it happens, will I have a fucking victory lap on this show? I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Hopefully we'll have CJ. We only have CJ every once, you know, what, 5 or 6 years? So he might not be here again. But I mean, hopefully we'll find out.
I mean, just keep in mind that you think players who score a lot of points are just having amazing games. You thought Kuminga scored 30, and I looked it up. That Dallas game where he took over and brought everybody back, he scored 17 points. So
there you go. I think we established it at 22. Nobody said 30, but thank God we spent some time going backwards in the questions. Go fuck yourself. I preferred when you were talking about the Smurfs, asshole. Here is our last question, and it is the one that I've been looking forward to. So I always generally bring up the Golden Questions thing as saying it's our mailbag, and people give us questions that are both personal and Warriors-based. And this couldn't be more personal. So if you guys don't feel comfortable throwing it on this one, feel free to do so. And just let me pause for a second. Are you guys having a contest to see who can fucking distract me more? This one, yes. Marcus just put his Smurf things back over. And CJ has a spinner that he's been using for like 3 or 4 minutes. And the last 2 minutes, he's put literally into the camera and then back on out. It's like, oh, this shit isn't hard enough. I'm sweating like you've never seen. And you fuckers are distracting me left and right. Here's the question. Quote. And now I can't find it because you guys completely distracted me. All right. Quote. You could do psychedelics with any current member of the NBA, who would you do them with? All right. So I will take this first. I'm not going to say that I've ever done psychedelics. I'm certainly not going to say that I've never done acid and only done mushrooms. I'm not going to say anything like that, because why would you want to give those details? But I will say that if I was going to do mushrooms, and this isn't from personal experience, but if I was going to do them, you want to do it with somebody who is rock solid personality wise and is not going to lose their shit at any given moment. You know, is not prone to doing something really random or weird because you're not really in the mental space to deal with that. And I'll give you an example that didn't happen to me. I know someone who went on a hike with friends doing shrooms. One of them stopped talking for the good part of like 30 minutes. And when they did finally start talking, they accused the other people of pissing in the water that they had all been drinking. You definitely don't want to be with that person. I wasn't with somebody in Amsterdam doing shrooms who tried to buy some cigarettes and then freaked out when they gave him euros in exchange for his $20 bill and disappeared into the bathroom for about 18 minutes. Yeah, again, you don't want people like that. So for me, if I had to do them for the first time, and I've thought this out, here's my pick, Steve Kerr. I feel like Kerr would be rock solid. Like, you know, nothing's going to throw him off at all. He's not going to freak out on you. He's not going to stop talking. He's not going to piss in your water. He's not going to run away or do some weirdo shit. You know, like, he's not going to accuse a stranger of something strange. He's going to be predictable, which is what you want. And he is capable of both the funny conversation and like the overly serious conversation, which is exactly what I want in that space of time. So if I had my pick of all the people, don't even have to leave my backyard. I'm going to Kerr. We're splitting an eighth, and we see, you know, we see where the marbles lay.
Dude, phenomenal response. Holy shit. I was thinking about players and you blew it wide open with the coach. I think like going for a coach is a really smart move. I also love that we're collectively, do you guys know the Glomar response is the initial, I can neither confirm nor deny, that was developed by the US around like the Cold War, because we could neither confirm nor deny whether or not we'd found the Glomar submarine. And the whole legal team figured it out. So like every time I hear somebody say I can neither confirm nor deny, like Glomaring it. So I'm also going to Glomar it. I have not. I can neither confirm nor deny any psychedelic experiences. However, I've seen them portrayed on TV enough to have an understanding. Here's the thing. This is a situation where you want to have cultural equivalency. Now, the NBA is its own cultural microcosm, and there's just no way that I have overlap culturally with anybody, Steve Kerr on down, anybody in the NBA. However, I can at least limit it to people around my age. Because if I'm trying to do it with like a Jonathan Kuminga, like we're not even talking the same language. You know what I mean? Like it's just
you could talk about the 40-point game he had against Dallas. Whatever.
yeah, because I guess when you're on mushrooms, you can see into the future or something and see alternate timelines. I don't know. Point aside, my pick is Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin he's also 32, which is how old I am. I feel like he's the type of dude that, like, in the same way, right? Could be funny, can also be serious. He's also got an acting career. I feel like he's like interacted with a lot of different types of people, so could bring some fun experiences, be kind of goofy if I wanted to be goofy, but also sort of get what it feels like to be, you know, to be a millennial and experience the world from that perspective. So that's my pick.
Spontaneously funny. I like that. And if you wanted to go dark, you could talk about the Donald Sterling years. You know,
goodness. Like I would not want to do that.
Yeah, you know, where a shroom conversation might go for that, like the white parties that fucking Donald Sterling
Shit,
like, just all of that shit would be
that, like, poor man coming into the league as a rookie and being thrust into that situation. No, thank you.
There you go. I like it. Solid answer. Also, I can neither confirm nor deny that I organized my camera to not show my face, as we talked about.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, your face has slowly become like clearer and clearer throughout the podcast.
I actually noticed that too. It just waited until we were talking about illegal substances, which is so scandalous.
So for me, I mean, mine's pretty simple, and it's kind of the obvious answer, I feel like. But I'm trying to, like, if I'm going to do that stuff, I'm going to do it with Kyrie, because I'm just trying to understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You're gonna say that. But if you did that, there's a 40% chance you guys are hanging out, you're having a great time, and then he runs out of the door and is like, I have to go buy a donkey. You're like, what? Dude, he's going to do some crazy shit, man. And, like, I'm telling you, that's not what you want in your life if you're tripping balls.
That's funny. That's exactly who I was going to pick, too, and for a different reason. I think – you know, you picture, from what Bram has said, these shrooms do to you. I don't know. You know, like how they work. It feels like they would take Kyrie's hot takes and personality and flip them. So I'd be super curious to see what the shroom version of Kyrie is. And like, then you get all those different hot takes. And then, you know, like you said, an hour in, we're off to go buy a donkey and we're having a great time.
Oh, you're not invited. You're definitely not coming.
Why would Kyrie need a donkey, though?
He wouldn't know. By the time he left the fucking house, he'd be on his way to Disneyland instead. And then he decided he needed a wingless elephant. I don't know. But what you couldn't predict.
Hey, bro, I just imagine Kyrie laying there. He turned to you like, you know, hey, bro, let's go get this donkey.
Be good. I'm saying is,
be like, great idea.
Who the fuck knows? You know, I mean, Kyrie was at the top of my list, the first name that came into my head, because we associate most of his takes as the kind of things that people would say when they are on mushrooms, you know. But what that means, really, it's shorthand for unpredictable. You know, if someone's talking about things that make no sense to you, that's what that, you know, what that portrays about his personality would terrify me. I could see him being like, let's prove the world is flat. You know, like, let's head in one direction until we get right back. You know, we fall off the fucking earth or something.
Look, you already, I get the sense, have a tenuous grip on reality, right? With psychedelics, like you're literally seeing things, right? And I don't need additional opportunities to have my reality questioned. Right. Like I remember I was teaching a dude clarinet once, and I've been teaching him for a really long time. And then one day he dropped that, like, he'd been doing a lot of research and, like, he found out that the earth was flat. And, like, we had a long argument about it, and it literally sent me to therapy. Like, I still am dealing with the aftermath of how this dude fucked my life up, because I was just like, I knew that he was wrong, but I couldn't weasel my way out of the conversation. And, like, dude, that was me 100% sober, you know? So, like, psychedelics are a whole extra dimension that I don't think I need in terms of reality questioning. I think that would freak me out.
You're not ready for a Kyrie donkey trip.
Nope.
None of us are. None of us are. But I tell you what, if you guys ever did it with it, please tape it, because I would die to watch whatever that interaction is. I mean, as long as it's not like nasty circumstances, but there's very few things I enjoy watching more than somebody being impacted by drugs when it doesn't impact me. Years ago, I went to a New Year's Eve party with a friend, and we showed up to an apartment where we knew people, but not a lot of them. And we're sitting there on the couch, and the friend I knew, who I went with, turns to me and says, I think this is an ecstasy party. And I go, why? And he says, because this dude hasn't stopped rubbing my leg for the last 20 minutes. And I look over, and yep, this dude was about him. Like, he was on. We did not know that guy at all. It was one of my favorite things that has ever happened. So yeah, if Kyrie is dropping fucking acid with you guys, or whatever it is you're going to do, please invite me. I'll just sit in the corner and have the time of my life. Huge fun, you guys. True every week, certainly true this week. CJ, we appreciate you, as shown by the fact that we've had you on now, you know, in almost back-to-back episodes, but with complete knowledge that people need way more homes in their life. Where do they go?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CJHolmes22. And if you're ever walking around the lake, just come say what's up.
Yeah, there you are. Look for the guy who's dressed in far too many clothing on a hot day for us. You want to reach out to us, get us a question, let us know that talking about mushrooms on a basketball podcast is inappropriate. Anything. You can shoot us an email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Our lone social media account is Twitter. That one's at Warriors Huddle. With that in mind, go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.